Listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in the medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names. But because of them, we are here. So we honor them in their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them. We respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So he poured his libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Peace, family. Hope everything was well with you today. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need to do, have to do, should do, better do, must do, and you could do, particularly if the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know you did it anyway, because you ain't messing around. You know it has to be done. And so there is no procrastination. There is no putting off today or putting off to tomorrow what I must and should do today. That ain't in your spirit. That ain't in your DNA. You get it done. And that's what we must all do. Hope the weekend was good for you. Nice weather pretty much across the country, not as bad as it has been, or as it could be or should be or will be. Because I tell you, with this climate change, you know, you're going to have some erratic weather patterns for some time. In fact, it might be hot as you know what in the next coming weeks. So you never know. You never know. And then, of course, next month starts hurricane season, and I'm feeling bad for the Caribbean again and the south, the area which I live in, the southeastern portion and the middle section of this country. But it is what it is. It is what it is. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen live, you can always go to the archives, timeforanawakening.com. And once you go on timeforanawakening.com, scroll down till you see the red, black, and green line with Africa imposed, and click that on, and then get a chance to listen to the archives, which are titled and dated. And I know next week you'll be listening to archives, because I won't be here next week. I have to go to Milwaukee for a series of things. So next week, my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku, will be handling. He'll put on previously recorded programs. And so no phone calls, please. Yep. So, and the number two to call if you want to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. On Mondays, the lineup here on, on Time for an Awakening Media, on Mondays we have Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. And then right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank. And then on Wednesdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, Revive with Sister POC, Revive. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening. That's right, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmer. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmer from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., no, it is not me. It is Sister POC with Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening from 7 p.m. to 10 or thereabouts, Once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And remember the number to call and keep that number handy. It's 215-490-9832. This Friday, my guest in the second hour will be Brother Bomani Tayembe. Brother Bomani is set to go to take about 35 or so of our people to Ghana. And he'll talk about what it entails, what they're going to experience, cost, and all those things involved. And you can be part of that contingency next year as he continues to take our brothers and sisters over to Ghana to look at investments, opportunities, and, of course, repatriation, which, of course, I strongly advocate. And it's not that when I talked about last week the scramble for Africa that I'm saying, no, you know, if you live here in America and you got some dough and you want to invest in Africa, don't do it. Of course I want you to do it. Of course I want you to. In fact, I understand that a lot of our people are not going to go back to Africa to live. I wish our people would, instead of saying, let's go on a vacation and go to here and there, or Europe, let's go to Paris and let's go to France, you know, let's go to Greece and you know, all of that. No, bump that. Go to Africa. Go home. Experience that. But more importantly, repatriate and invest. And so we'll talk about that. And, of course, if you want to check out Brother Bomani Tayembe's website is Africa for the Africans, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and his Facebook page, if you want to see photos of previously Ghana tours on his Facebook page, Facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I, Bomani. And if you want to see some videos of their previous tours, you can go to youtube.com/Bomani2007, Bomani2007, and check that out. So I look forward to Brother Bomani on this Friday. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. We Buy Black, the largest online market for American African business. Get everything you need from American African Business on WeBuyBlack.com. As I said, I met the brother in the Greenbrier Mall. He has a kiosk there, and everything that he has is produced by us. The laundry detergent, the toothbrushes and paste and lotions and all kinds of good stuff. So check him out. But more importantly, go on the website, WeBuyBlack. Us Lifting Us, Ulu, Cafe Ulu, which is open every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the cafe is open, is located 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta. If you want to know more about the cafe, we sell coffee. Coffee is our thing. Coffee is our thing. Cameroonian, Tanzanian, Kenya, Ethiopian, Brazilian, Panamanian. We also have Loose Teas, which is another company. Also, too, at Cafe Ulu, everything that is sold there is us. Everything that is sold at Cafe Ulu is produced and made by us. The potato chips, the drinks. Well, of course, there are some drinks that are not. They're you know, like orange juice and soap. But there's an outstanding drink, Ambrosia, made by a brother right here in Atlanta. Outstanding. I'm going to get him on the program one of these days. But so, Cafe Ulu, Us Lifting Us. And you can go to the website, cafeulu.com, C-A-F-E-U-L-U.com, C-A-F-E-U-L-U.com. Or also go to the website of uslifting us.com, uslifting us.com. Abaka Sim Sum Sum. This Saturday, brothers and sisters, is this Saturday, May 12th, from 12:30 to 6:30. Abaka Sim Sum Sum is African spiritual warfare, raising up the spirit of Dr. John Henry Clark and Marcus Mosiah Garvey and Queen Mother Moore, and you name it. This Abaka Sim Sum Sum's focus will be building Quilombos from war camp to African sovereignty, from war camp to African sovereignty, building Columbos. If you don't know what Columbo is, there's an excellent movie about Columbos. You know about Maroons in Jamaica, same thing, fighting and going up into the mountains and go up into the forest and go up into the jungle, whatever you want to call it, and living as you would independently, and then defending it against whatever aggressors they might be. So we're going to be raising up the spirit of Marcus Mosiah Garvey and Nana John Henry Clark and Dudi Bookman and Jean-Jacques Dessalines and Ya Santiwa, Queen Nzinga. Warriors, brothers and sisters, warriors. So that's this Saturday at Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia, which is west of Atlanta. Sweetwater State Park, going to be easy to get to this Saturday. And that is going to be from 12:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Black Dot Bookstore, Black Dot Bookstore, Cultural Center and Bookstore, located 6984 Main Street in Lithonia, 404-519-8107. That's one of the few bookstores we have in the Atlanta area. The other one is the one I go to in the Greenbrier Mall, which is Medu Netcher, Medu Bookstore. And, of course, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They also sell books as well, located on Abernathy. Those are two places I know that sells books. This past Friday, of course, I read a piece from Dr. George Yancey. Dr. George Yancey, what he did is he wrote a piece in the op-ed section of the New York Times, December 24th, 2015. And in that piece titled Dear White America, he made a passion plea to Caucasians to look at themselves, to go inward, to look at themselves and their treatment of other people, and how the racism, the institutionalized, the systemic and internal racism that they have, how it affects others. And basically say, y'all all racist because you've created a system that you function well in. And and he's right. But boy, did they let him have it. The vitriol, as that saying goes, was vicious. It was vicious. And and what was interesting, the backlash that happened was tremendous. And the title of the article that he, in response, because also he wrote a book to based upon what happened, but the title of the article is The Ugly Truth of Being Black Professor in America. The Ugly Truth of Being a Black Professor in America. And man, they laid him out. They sure did. And so I read some of the things that he received in the mail as he printed them, as nasty and vulgar as they were. And I went ahead and I read it. And I try to sound like the Caucasians who wrote them. You nigger. Because see, I don't use the word, definitely don't use that one, but I don't even use the one with the A at the end, which is the one that we use, nor do I use the B word to describe our women. I do cuss. Yes, I'm going to be honest. I'm an honest man, you know. But I try not to cuss on the program. But I felt, because you can, it's not an FCC issue, we're on internet. And so I wanted to read what this man was experiencing, the letters he was receiving, some in literally in the mail, not just emails, but mail, postage, coming at him, threatening him, vilifying him, denigrating him. And so I wanted to make sure that we understood that, what kind of situation this brother was experiencing, you know. And so one day I'm going to try to, I've been calling maybe when another week or so, maybe that might be an advantage for me when I get back from Milwaukee to try to get a hold of Dr. George Yancey and talk about his book and talk about other things. And In the second hour, I'm going to talk about the mother and father of the apartheid, the case of the Jewish landlords. Coming out of the final call. Haven't read anything from the final call in quite some time. So this is, you know, I've been reading a lot from the Arrow, which I'm going to read from on Wednesday when me and Brother Frank, you know, hold it down. But this is from the final call. Haven't read anything because mostly I pretty much go on Atlanta Black Star, or The Root, Black Agenda Report, and other stuff, you know. So, yeah. So I came across this article online, you know, and the article was about psychopaths. A few weeks ago, I did a tribute to Dr. Bobby Wright in his outstanding essay, Psychopathic Racial Personality, and saying that in relationship to Caucasians to us and how they treat us, they are psychopaths. They are psychopaths, you know? So when I came across it, I decided, yeah, we need to delve into this. But also, too, I saw another piece where people said, well, you know, we don't understand what fascism is. This is not fascism in terms of what the government is doing, particularly this administration. The piece on psychopath is not about can you identify an individual. I'm saying this is the mentality of the people that we're dealing with, the ones who are controlling this country, the ones who are in public office, the ones who are in the private sector and any other sector that controls this country. The fascists, of course, are the one that controls the country. And here's what it is. Fascism, powerful and continuing. Nationalism, disdain for human rights. Identification of enemies, scapegoats has a unifying cause, supremacy of the military, rampant sexism, control mass media, obsessed with national security, religion and government are intertwined, corporate power is protected, labor power is suppressed. Disdain for intellectuals and the arts, obsessed with crime and punishment, rampant cronyism and corruption, and fraudulent elections. You tell me if we're not living in that kind of environment today. You tell me. In fact, let me say this to you. We've always been living in that. It was deep state, but now it's overt. Used to be covert, but now it's in your face. It's happening. You tell me. Fascism. You know, Dr. Bobby Wright, in his outstanding essay, Psychopathic Racial Personality, also talks about menticide, which, of course, my good brother, Baba Mwalimu Baruti, has wrote his book, Menticide. And, of course, menticide is what it is what? A deliberate and systematic destruction of a group's mind with the ultimate objective being the extermination of that group. A systematic and deliberate to destroy our thinking, to put into our minds how we are and what we should think, and more importantly, how we should behave. The psychopath. Here is this article. You can spot any psychopath by looking for these warnings. And I'm, once again, I ain't talking about individuals. I'm reading this in the way that how do these people behave, particularly towards us? How do they behave towards us? When you picture a psychopath, usually the image you think of is a weapon-wielding individual with a crazed look in their eye. That's the image that popular culture has portrayed. But how accurate is that definition? It's not as simple as the stereotypical depictions you see in films and on TV shows. One of the biggest myths about psychopaths is that they're all violent, or criminal. In fact, you could be in the presence of a psychopath and not even know it. The term psychopath, yeah, we're in the presence of Caucasians, they're psychopath, and a lot of us don't have a damn clue. And I'll tell you why. The term psychopath was coined in the 1900s when doctors noticed certain mental health patients who appeared neurotypical had what they called a mental depravity. So they were neurotypical. That means they functioned well, but something happened with them, you know? And so we're going to, okay. Sometimes, you know, I tell you, man, we got to figure out these computers. Okay, there you go. So, okay, here we go, y'all. Dang. Psychopath. The psychopath was in conflict with sociopathic at times. Since then, researchers have amended the definition of the psychopath to refer to those who lack a sense of ethics regarding others on a genetic level. Psychopaths also lack conscience, allowing them to manipulate others without feeling a sense of any wrongdoing. As I'm reading this, please, brothers and sisters, open your mind. Think about what we have been experiencing. Think about the people we are dealing with. Think about how they have taken the European, how they have taken over the world. Think about these things. Although it's not easy to detect a psychopath by judging their appearance, there are ways to determine whether someone may be psychopathic. Number one, lack of guilt. According to the Psychology Today, a psychopath will do what they please without consideration for how their behavior will impact others and without feeling a sense of remorse. They don't care. They don't. Okay, here we go. Come on, computer. I don't know. Sometimes if you leave something up so long, it begins to, you know, because I had this up for a while, and now it's acting a little funny. So I appreciate your patience. Thank you. As I'm trying to maneuver this. So. Number. Man, I apologize. I think what I'm going to do is go out of it and come back into it, so in that way it might act better. You know what I'm saying? How about that? Let's try that. Let's do that, because it's not acting right. So we're going to go out of it, come back into it, and let's hope that it'll function better than what it was doing previous, because this is foul. But it's the technology. It ain't me. I want it to be smooth as it can be, you know. Sometimes you can do stuff and then you think that you're doing it and it's going well, but next thing you know, it's not going well, and to no fault of your own. So let's try it now. Okay, the accent a little better. Lack of empathy. According to LiveScience.com, a psychopath is unable to place themselves in another person's shoes or to see things from their perspective if it is not beneficial for them. However, they are capable of mimicking empathy or sympathy by observing others. They don't care. They have no remorse. They do it because, hey, enjoy making others feel guilty. MentalHealth.net explains that another way to detect a psychopath is that they like to manipulate people's emotions in order to get them to do what they want. They pick up small details about you, and once they build your trust, they will use the information against you. Only value themselves. International Business Times reveals that as long as a psychopath is doing what they want and getting what they want, they couldn't care less if the world goes up in flames. And I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let me stop at each one and give you an example, because sometimes I'm reading this and you're saying, well, I don't understand, Brother Oshie. Just in case in here, just the point here. reveals that as long as the psychopath is doing what they want and getting what they want, they could care less if the world goes up in flames. So those who have been told 30-something or longer years ago that your sensation and your thirst for oil is causing the planet to experience some adverse effects, then global warming, today climate change, and it's going to have some bad consequences. This is something I read over 30-something years ago, and now look at today. They don't care. And he's still trying to push oil, still trying to push coal. They don't care. As long as they rather get these short-term profits and at the expense of a long-term misery. Believe they are better than others. According to an article on psychopaths that was published by CNBC, psychopaths think they are better than everyone else, and that is why they get away with feeling that without feeling any guilt. They have an inflated sense of self-worth. The European made a decision many, many hundreds of years ago that whoever was going to run the world was going to be them. And they didn't give a damn about anybody but themselves. They kicked everybody else off the world stage and put themselves on top. And everybody else at a lower position with us as African people, dark-skinned people at the lowest position. And as a consequence of that, we are hated around the damn planet. Everywhere. Dr. Clark, once again, says it best. We have no friends. Liars. Reader's Digest states that another clue to detect psychopaths is that they will lie about anything to get what they want. But they will also lie even if it has no benefit for them. It gives them a false sense of power over everything. Donald Trump has been, I mean, they just, I think there was some piece I saw on the internet. I didn't even go into it, but it talks about how many lies that he has stated since he's been president, like over 3,000 lies, you know. I mean, this is an habitual liar. But it ain't Donald Trump. It's Europeans. It ain't Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the product of a system. That's what it is, a psychopathic system of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. And they will do any and everything to maintain that system. Often well-liked, according to Psychology Today, psychopaths are able to get along with almost everybody. They are friendly and approachable, which allows them to gain your trust and learn about you. And then use all of that against you. They're conniving. They're slick. They're devious. Whatever they need to use. Religion, money, influence, all of those things for their desired end. Lack of accountability for their actions. Psychology Today explains that this is how they are able to manipulate and bend people to their will. They feel no responsibility whatsoever. They never held account. They just do it. Science. Do you think science is objective? Science is neutral? Oh, no. In Baba Jacob Carruthers' outstanding article, book, Science on Oppression, pick it up, read it. In fact, probably the most devious of these are those who deal with the psychology are most devious because you're talking about the mind. And, of course, I would never go to a Caucasian if I was having some psychological problems. And I hope that the brother or sister that I go to has a clear understanding what happened to us culturally, what happened to us historically. Because in order for that person to be in that position, he or she would have to have gone to school and get that degree. Like Naeem Akbar, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, Wade Nobles, and others who, although they were trained in the academy, they've stepped outside of it to understand, to deal with our people. So you see, early behavioral problems. If you can recall or look into their childhood, Do you notice unsettling patterns like enjoying hurting or torturing animals? Do they have a long history of lying to avoid getting into trouble? Juvenile delinquency. A study published by the International Journal of Offender Therapy and Combative Criminology showed that youth with high psychopathic traits start engaging in criminal activities early in life, come in contact with justice system early in life, and have higher levels of conduct disorder, behavioral problems, and delinquent behaviors. Walking contradictions. According to Business Insider article, psychopaths will contradict themselves often. Not only do they have been there, done that, that toughness combined with false innocence that draws their victims, they also contradict themselves in their behavior and speech and will do so without so much as a second thought. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. In fact, when they've done something, it's been contrary or it's been exposed, whatever it takes to even do that or change that or do something different. That is the mentality of the psychopath. So these things, I really think about how we have been treated. Think about the Europeans that are in control of this world. Don't believe the rules apply to them. Psychology Today explains that the psychopaths believe that they are above any rules or conventions, so they are able to get away with terrible behavior. Much like narcissists, they are so self-centered that they believe that they are not held to the same standards as others. And no, they don't. There are no rules for them. In fact, whatever rules there are, they've made them, and they favor them, and they can change them. They can break those rules whenever they want to. They are the rule maker. They are the ones that are in domination and control. Shallow emotions. A study conducted by Dr. William Martens from the W. Kahn Institute of Theoretical Psychiatry and Neuroscience demonstrates that psychopaths, you know, I'm reading all these studies and so forth, all the Caucasian, you know, and they're doing this, and basically, once again, they're pointing to individuals. They're pointing to a situation individually, because understand something, America is about individualism. America is about individualism. European world, Caucasians, individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And it's very psychopathic. Demonstrates that psychopaths show signs of emotional abnormalities like shallow affect. This means that events that may engender an emotional response from neurotypical may have little or no effect on the psychopath. That, however, does not prevent them from, you know, from fringing these emotions in order to fit in or to manipulate. See, they could pretend, but they don't care. They don't. They can give less than a rat's poop about how situation is or how they feel. The only bottom line is, does it fit? What I'm talking about, what I'm doing, does it fit? Rage. Of the few emotional responses that have been attributed to psychopaths is anger, which appears to be intact and perhaps enhanced in psychopathy, according to one study published in the journal Frontiers in Human Neuroscience. Abigail Marsh finds that elevated anger responding is intrinsic to many descriptions of psychopathology. She also references two case studies that include numerous descriptions of psychopaths who misbehave, include frequent temper tantrums and rage-induced aggression. Because, you know, that's Trump. He wants to go ahead. I mean, early on, and of course his advisors and others try to, but, you know, he wanted to go and bomb somebody. I mean, foolish as it is, he wanted to go ahead and use a nuclear weapon. The reality is, brothers and sisters, there is no such thing in this day and age with the amount of nuclear weapons on the planet of a controlled, limited nuclear strike. Because once it starts to fly, it's flying everywhere. China, Russia, the UK, Israel, they're all flying. Unfazed. According to an article published by Science America, psychopaths are unfazed not only by social, moral, or legal consequences of their actions, but they are also not easily disturbed or affected by situations that may, for instance, startle a neurotypical person. No, because they don't give a damn. They don't. What is my objective? And whatever happens, if it fits for the end result, then so be it. I'm unfazed by all of the destruction that may happen because of the consequence of the decision. But I'm looking at the outcome. And in the psychopath's mind, the outcome that is favorable to them is what is desired. Damn the consequences about what may happen to others. Caucasians, Europeans are psychopaths. Sucker for thrills. A psychopath is also partial to adrenaline-inducing activities. They enjoy extreme sports like skydiving and drag racing. Some of the crimes that they commit is also as a result of them seeking a thrill, according to an article published by Inc. Some people have argued that same point about Caucasians having a death wish and some of the stuff that they've done. I admit that some of the things that they have done is phenomenal. They push the limits and the bounds of what humans are able to do and where they can go and so forth. And so I ain't got no problem with that. What I have a problem with is imposing their will on others outside of them and taking their land and taking their resources and destroying their minds. That's the problem I have. I don't marvel at Caucasians because they climb the highest peaks. You know, some of them, I know you've probably seen them, you probably see the GoPros, because a GoPro, they are doing even crazier stuff. You see them jumping from one building to another, skyscrapers, 40, 50 stories tall, 70, 80, 90 feet in the air, 100 feet in the air, taller, 200. Because, you know, a skyscraper, the tallest ladder that the fire department has in the U.S. is about 110, 120 feet. If you had a 10, 12, 15-story building, it wouldn't even make the top of that. And we're talking about some buildings 40, 50, 60 stories high, and you see them jumping from one building to another. Short personal space. Another indicator of psychopath is the tendency to invade personal space. A study published in Frontiers in Human Neuroscience titled "Don't Stand So Close to Me, Psychopathy and the Regulation That Interpersonal Space" found that individuals with high levels of cold-heartedness prefer shorter interpersonal distances. Don't step in my space. Get up, get back. Need for stimulation, proneness to boredom. According to healthplace.com, a common trait of the psychopath is their need for stimulation. They're easily bored, and because of their restless minds, are constantly in need of entertainment. Yeah, entertainment. Just like when they were in Rome, the entertainment was feeding someone to the lions. Parasitic lifestyle. A study published in the Journal of Abnormal Psychology finds that some psychopaths live what can be described and classified as a parasitic lifestyle, meaning they will leech on those around them and take credit for accomplishments achieved by others. Look what they did to our history. Look what they've done to us. They wanted the world to believe, and they've made us believe, unfortunately, that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, of any note or worth. And our people, unfortunately, believe it to this day. And not only here in the diaspora, but even on the continent. They claimed Egypt for themselves. You have to understand that the people who are there today are not the Kemetic people. They are not the tomb and temple and pyramid builders. They are not the ones that brought the world knowledge of science and math and architecture and music and writing and law. They are not those people. We are those people. but they claim it for themselves. Lack of realistic long-term goals. HealthyPlace.com explains that psychopaths lack the ability to set realistic long-term goals because of their inflated sense of self. They have a tendency to establish unattainable goals. Well, I don't know about that. Because I think what these folks have done, they said, once again, when they came out of that dark age, that medieval age, that primitive age, and then went on around the world claiming everybody's stuff in the name of, what they said is that we may war amongst ourselves, but we are going to come together to those outside of us. We're going to establish whiteness as superior to anything else on this planet. And the planet has bought it because they've imposed it on the planet. So, the psychopath. Give us a call, 215-490-9832. Tell us what you think about the psychopathic racial personality of Europeans and how they function, how they operate, how they do what they do at the expense of others. How the fact is that menticide is a systematic and deliberate to control our minds with the express purpose of our elimination, our extermination. And the fact that we can't break this, we can't come together, we can't share with one another and support one another. I tell you, it's deep, isn't it? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, I know we usually take a break at the top of the hour. I know the top of the hour is a few minutes away. But we're going to take a break now. And then when we come back, we're going to get off in this piece from The Final Call, The Mother and Father of Apartheid, The Case of the Jewish Landlords, from The Final Call newspaper. Brothers and sisters, you are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take this break. You'll be right back with us. Stay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is Girl Shot Blast, and I'm back in the building. Ah. Hey.
Choose, we believe it. If the crook was a cook, we never look, we just eat it. Got us like paraplegics, frozen stiff and depleted. Body bagged by the wayside, history we repeat it. Hill, they don't like the Kennedys. We all public enemies. The program's satanic, tapping into our energies. They will super soaker, call themselves black and noble. Their position is global, so our transition is vocal. It all start with the churches. Killer bees be the workers. Missionaries, they carry the wickedness to usurpers. They all hate us and bait us. Their name is educators. Religions intimidators, so we worship and invaders. They agree to a betting. Bloodline is pathetic. Loyalty to the royalty, second cousin to wedding. Guillotines to behead them, yes, the queen has said it. Elohim's the legend, away your sisters and brethren. How do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
The power, me and my people, and power strike back.
Awaken, can't you feel the earth shaking? We arousing 1,144 acres. No, we ain't paper chasers, more like movers and shakers. Bringing the sentence with vengeance to Mother Earth on a cake. From niggas to niggas, from rednecks to wiggers. When they try to come get us, they using your public figures. Concentrated to campus, microchip is the samples. Unity is the key, connecting all the bandanas. Your televisions and cameras, so don't switch to the box. Microphones in your home, whether you like it or not. No, we ain't overcoming, we just slumming and bumming. They recognizing your third eye is your second coming.
I do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people and power strike back. Yeah.
I look for Houdini. I study Kundalini. Raising up through my
my vertebrae till I seen the genie. So if your chakras are open, know that you are the chosen 144,000 around. The spell has been broken.
Shout bless.
Yes.
Are you prepared to stand up for the liberation of your people?
I am.
Are you willing to fight against the wickedness and evil of this present day system?
We saved your people. We brought you over here from Africa. We gave you a new name, a new culture, a new language, a new religion, a new God. So what do you say to that?
Fuck you.
So power be in my people against the forces of evil. Got you looking for paradise, the wise of the needle. So as you look for Houdini, I study Kundalini. Rising up through my vertebrae till I see the genie.
I know you like that, yeah, we like that. Ready to fight back, ready to fight back. But they don't like that, no, they don't like that.
Lost in confusion, believe in illusion, so no revolution could take place till you erase the false face that you embrace. Carrying loads of dead weight, we displace all over this earth, cursed with hate. Still bowing down to masters who burn and castrate. We so divine, spiritual slaves, deaf and blind, been intertwined. Can recognize your black signs. You think not, so we rock braids and twist knots. That's not ether, galaxy rays and equinox. The soul seeker, astro signs, we need the clock, the age of. But where we all shifts and rise.
So you like that? Yeah, we like that. Ready to fight back? Ready to fight back. But they don't like that? No, they don't like that. But power be in my people and power strike back. Yeah, yeah. So you like that?
Brothers and sisters,
like that. Ready to
it
fight
is definitely
back.
The time. Must realize if you tap into your energies that they tried to keep you from. The ancestors, they have another plan. I'm calling on the ancestors. The ancestors. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's black science.
Now do you like that? Yeah, we like that. I'm ready to fight back. Ready to fight back. But they don't like that. No, they don't like that. The power be in my people and power strike back. Yeah.
Shah Bless in the house. When I play Shah Bless, I always think about my dear friend, Queen Ifama. Queen Ifama really helped this program to be what it is. It's just unfortunate that she made her transition before we could all be on Time for an Awakening. And it's just unfortunate, but I'll always love her, always miss her, always give honor and respect to her for her help and her friendship over the many years that we've known each other. That's right, you're listening to African Perspectives. Once again, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And, of course, Monday evenings here on Time for an Awakening is Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Then right after that, Let's Buy Black, 365 from 8 to 9 p.m. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, and that is Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. And then on Fridays, Time for an Awakening with hosts Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. until. And then Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sister POC, Revive. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. This article caught me, and I did mention something like this a few weeks ago, about a month and a half or so ago, when, and I did, because it was around Savior's Day, which is in February, where the European Jews were making elected officials and others disassociate themselves and apologize. The sister who, Tamika Mallory, who stated that she has been going to Savior's Day for many, many years. But because she is one of the leaders in the Black Lives Matter movement and the women's, what was that, the women's something, whatever that was. If somebody can help a brother out, you know, it's the women, you know, I think it's the women's march, isn't it? Ah, whatever. Yeah. And of course, making her repudiate Minister Farrakhan and distance themselves, you know, just like Barack had to distance himself from Jeremiah Wright, because as a Christian minister, Jeremiah Wright was a very strong preacher. I don't know if you've probably seen some clips on the internet, particularly on Facebook or whatever, where Jeremiah Wright is condemning America for what it is doing and what it has done and what it continues to do, you know, and very forcefully, you know, just like he said, no, not God bless America, God damn America, it's in the Bible. And really, you know, and so their whole thing is, you better go along with this program. You better go along with what we tell you to do. Some of them had to kowtow because why? They had, that's where they get their money from. That's where they get their marching orders from. But who are these so-called Jews? Who are these Jews that Farrakhan called the synagogue of Satan? You know? Now, around the same time that I was talking about that, another piece came out about Farrakhan and the Nation, which was upsetting to me, and probably one of the reasons why I should have researched it. But I do know people in the Nation, and they know that I'm a Pan-Africanist, and we worked well together, Mr. William, back in Milwaukee, back in 95 when we put together the Million Man March, and then the 10-year anniversary after that. You know, and other things that were happening in Milwaukee, and my understanding, you know, that the Nation of Islam, they don't believe they're African. I say, what, Brother Oshie? Yeah, I know. You know, but Brother Cyrus Setti with his profane self. And if you can get beyond the profanity, because he was really hitting them, and then he used the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he used the audio of Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it was disturbing, you know. Once again, with the curse that we are cursed. If you are dark skinned with close curled hair, broad nose, thick lips, you're cursed. They're using this curse, the biblical curse of Ham and so forth. You're cursed. Brothers and sisters, we are the first people on the planet. There is no damn curse. We are not cursed. But because of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, we've been made to believe we are cursed. We've been made to believe that our skin, our hair, our lips, our nose are ugly. And we should try to alter that. Many of our people have spent serious money. Many Africans on the continent, many Africans in the Caribbean are bleaching their skin, are doing crazy stuff to their hair. I saw a piece the other day, not one sister had her damn hair. Not one. About eight of them. Not one. Even when I went to the 20th anniversary back in 2015, of the Million Man March, I kept noticing all the, particularly younger people, everybody. I would love to have seen a number of sisters with galas on or dreads or other types of natural hairstyles. Saw lots of weave, lots of makeup. Because we are not cursed, but we've been led to believe we are. And we want to erase that curse through augmentation, through alteration. And the main ones pushing that curse is Christianity and Judaism. the Talmud. You ought to see what they say about us in the Talmud. But who are these? They are not, I repeat, they are not Hebrews. They are not Israelites. They are not the ancient people of that time. They're Eastern Europeans who over 1,000 years ago were, I think it was the 7th or 8th century, were confronted with either you accept Christianity or accept Islam. They said, we'll accept neither. We'll go with this Hebrew thing. We'll co-opt that. And now they dominate and control Judaism. They are the ones that control diamonds. They're in control of a lot of things, and you can't say it. You're not supposed to say it, because even if you say it, and even though it's true, they want to punish you. Like Spike Lee in the movie Mo Better Blues, when he had the two characters who portrayed Jewish record dealers, because the Jews were in control of the record industry. Jews are in control of the movie industry. Neil Gabler, in his book, An Empire of Their Own, Neil Gabler, who is Jewish, talked about Samuel Golden, Louis B. Mayer, Warner, Fox, who are controlled in Hollywood. Good movie to check out to deal with this. Ragtime with Howard Rollins. Ragtime, a very good movie to check out. And how Debbie Reynolds, who was having a baby by Howard Rollins, goes to the suburb of New York, New Rochelle, and tries to give her baby away, and just fast forward into this whole thing. Because there's many stories in this. The bottom line to Ragtime, no justice for us. There is no justice for us. The Jewish dude who catches his wife having an affair, kicks her out, takes their daughter. But there's one line that he makes in the movie that has stuck with me. I believe many of you probably are like me, and then you watch movies and you watch them analytically, and you hear something or see something in the movie that sticks with you, you know. And in that movie, he draws these little pictures frame by frame, and then he flips them, and then, of course, they move, you know, because basically what he was about was creating film. He's in Hollywood, so you can take a little bit step further. He might be Louis B. Mayer. He might be Samuel Golden. But what it is, he's a European Jew, probably from Russia, whatever, and he moves to Hollywood. But when he flips those things, he says, you know, there is no end to what you can do with the photoplay. There's no end to what you can do with the photoplay. It reminds me of a Nightline episode. I've been watching Nightline since Nightline came on. I still watch Nightline, though it comes on so damn late. I got to tape it and watch it at a better time, because it comes on at 12:30 Eastern. But in one episode, Ted Koppel was talking to a young man in the movie industry about, I don't know, I think it's green screen now, but I thought it was blue screen. But the technology now that allowed you to watch Forrest Gump and think that Forrest Gump was standing right next to JFK or right next to LBJ or Richard Nixon or whatever. What it says is that they can do things with the technology and the imagery, as you've been seeing in these movies. The technology of the movie today, like you just saw when many of us went to the Black Panther movie, is phenomenal. But what he was saying is that we have the opportunity to rewrite history. And when you consider what the Koch brothers are doing with the history books that will be read in schools across this country, sanitizing and downplaying the enslavement of African people and glorifying the manifest destiny of Caucasians, you see how bad that is. The European Jews, they've accepted Judaism. They're the ones who came up with the Talmud. The Talmud is nothing, was not written by Moses. And understand this, brothers and sisters, none of that stuff ever happened. It didn't exist. When people talk about Moses and the Exodus, it didn't happen. It didn't exist. What we need today, though, is the Exodus. We need an Exodus today more than what Moses did in the time of his captivity, or the Hebrews' captivity in Egypt to be slaves. It has been proven scientifically and mathematically and historically proven that the ancient temples and tombs and pyramids were not built by people suffering the sting of the lash. They were not built by people who were in servitude. They were built by the people themselves in honor of that pharaoh or that god or that king or that queen, whatever. They weren't built by people who were in servitude. It's a fable. No, damn it, it's a lie. Let's be real. Brother Oshie, are you saying the books in the Bible, are you saying the people in the Bible, are you saying that Jesus, are you saying all these are not true? You damn right. Now, I know that pissed a lot of people off because many of our people are Christian. And I know there are many of our people who believe in liberation theology. Professor Cone passed last week or week before last. He was a leading proponent. The leading proponent of liberation. In fact, he started black liberation theology. Of taking the Bible and its stories and crafting them in a way that speaks to us. Instead of putting Hebrews, the Jews, in a situation that it speaks in the Bible, their captivity, he put us there as American Africans and African people. I mean, that's cool. They're stories. I mean, to me, if there's something that can help liberate your mind. Now, I don't want to liberate. I'm not giving you fairy tale. I can give you parables and examples, but I don't want to give you fairy tales to help liberate your mind. I want to give you history and facts to liberate your mind. So you stand on something solid. And you stand on something that is yours. Christianity is not ours. It's been imposed upon us. And I know that whatever's been imposed upon us, because Islam was imposed upon us. That's why some may argue that I say hell with the those who say they're Sunni, Shiite, Hanafi, all those, Ahmadi. I'd rather take the nation. At least they're trying to do something for the benefit of us as a people. And I know, too, that the religion of Islam and the religion of Christianity speaks to the will of individuals, not to us collectively. That's very problematic for me because I don't think of us as individuals, just like that piece I just read you to you in the beginning hour on the psychopathology. That whole piece was talking about identifying individuals. No, I want you to identify a damn people who behave in this way. Because you may have your stuff together. Because you may be blessed and highly favored. While our community goes to hell. While your family goes to hell. But you blessed and highly favored. In fact, you can't wait for the rapture. Because you know you're going to be raptured. Come on, Armageddon. Come on. Let those damn Brother Oshie. Let them bombs start flowing. Because I know once those bombs start flowing, I'm going to be raptured up along with the other saints. Yeah. Yeah, right. So that's who these people are. They have no tie genetically. There's no DNA that traces these European Jews to Israel, what they've claimed, what they've taken, nothing. In fact, Nasser, who was president of Egypt, he said, man, y'all left black and came back white. Who are these people? You know, you were forced out of Egypt. You were black. And now you came back. You were white. You know. And they claimed it because why? European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. United States, Britain, and Europeans got together and said, yeah, you take that from the Palestinians. You take it. Go ahead. And all of what they're doing. And now, of course, they're kicking out Africans. In fact, they've offered citizens money if you can expose Africans who are there in the city. And I would venture to say even the ones they airlifted out of Ethiopia who are treated like dirt. Because we understand they're Caucasians. They're Europeans. And they have the same mentality. That's who they are. In the wake of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's historic Savior Day address this past February 25th, certain elements of the Jewish Zionist community, along with their allies and right-wing Republicans, have again attempted to drive a wedge between Minister Farrakhan and certain American African politicians, members of the Congressional Black Caucus, and activists, the Women's March leaders, by employing what has become known as the Farrakhan litmus test. The Farrakhan litmus test. This old tried strategy usually consists of falsely accusing the minister of making anti-Semitic and racist statements and then attempting to force American African politicians and activists to publicly denounce him on the basis of those imaginary statements. There's a picture that was floating around from the 80s when Jesse, I think, got somebody out of somewhere. But you see Farrakhan on the lawn. You see Reagan and Bush and a few others of his administration and so forth and so on. But a little bit right after that, in the mid-80s, you heard him make a statement about the gutter religion. And since that time, it's been an attack on Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. This old tried and true strategy usually consists of falsely accusing the minister of making anti-Semitic and racist statements, then attempting to force American African politicians and activists to publicly denounce him on the basis of these imaginary statements. But this time around, there appears to be a new wrinkle added to the mix. Not only are the Zionists and their allies attempting to bend political politicians and activists to their will, they're also trying to beat the entire Democratic Party establishment over the head for not calling Mr. Farrakhan out on what they claim is anti-Semitism and hate speech. As usual, these accusations of anti-Semitism and hate speech leveled at the minister are never verified as actually having any merit to them. As a matter of fact, these Zionist so-called Jews and their controlled pundits have never been able to actually disprove any of the statements that Farrakhan has made concerning the wicked behavior of those who have hidden their dirty practices under the names of righteous prophets of God. A perfect example of the Zionist depiction is their attempt to label the minister as anti-Semitic for calling out satanic Jews for the mothers as the mothers and fathers of apartheid in his Savior Day address. In fact, anti-Semitic. Semitic means Semite. What does Semite mean? Semite. When you have a basketball tournament or a football tournament, you know, the semifinals. The semifinals. Semite means half. Half. And these folks are supposed to be what? Half what and half what? half Caucasian and half Semite. That's what they say. Half European. I don't know. Say half. But if somebody is Semitic, it is the original inhabitants of the area. The Palestinians, the Arabs, are supposed to be Semites. These European Jews are not Semites. But yet, they are the ones who are able to control using that term and labeling even the Semites as anti-Semitic. Because they have co-opted what it means to be Jewish. And, I mean, they don't speak Hebrew. Some of them do now because they're learning, but they were speaking Yiddish. You know? Mr. Farrakhan isn't the only prominent figure who has been labeled anti-Semitic for placing the Zionist Jews at the center of a system of apartheid. President Jimmy Carter and Nelson Mandela were both called anti-Semitic for accusing the Zionist Jews of forcing an apartheid system of oppression on the Palestinian population. In an interview with NPR News Service concerning his book, Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid, on January 25th, 2007, former President Jimmy Carter said the following about Jewish occupation of Palestine land, of Palestinian land. Apartheid is a word that is an accurate description of what is going on in the West Bank and is based on the desire or the aversion of a minority of Israelis for Palestinian land. He went on to say, this is a word that is very accurate description of the forced separation within the West Bank of Israeli from Palestinians and the total domination and oppression of Palestinians by the dominant Israeli army, the Israeli military. Freedom fighter and former president of South Africa, the late Nelson Mandela, in a memo to New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman, on March 28, 2001, stated, apartheid is a crime against humanity. Israel has deprived millions of Palestinians of their liberty and property. It has perpetuated a system of gross racial discrimination and inequality. It has systematically incarcerated, tortured thousands of Palestinians contrary to the rules of international law. It has, in particular, waged a war against a civilian population, and particularly their children. Many Zionists and their defenders have us believe that President Jimmy Carter and Nelson Mandela were somehow anti-Semitic for pointing out the central role the Zionist Jews have played in perpetuating an apartheid system in the so-called Holy Land. And the Chicago Tribune columnist Clarence Page, in a recent article titled How Farrakhan Kills the Joy in Identity Politics, would have us believe that the minister's charge of Zionist Jews apartheid is just some anti-Semitic rant or fantasy. Well, Clarence Page, and you know, has always been a Negro. In reality, not only have Jews been at the center of establishing apartheid in Palestine, they are also the root of the apartheid system in South Africa. This brings us, that's why diamonds were the largest import of Israel. Diamonds are the largest export of Israel. The European Jews control the diamond industry. They are the ones who hoard diamonds to make you think that these things are rare. And therefore, in a cluster of diamonds for your engagement ring, wedding ring, or all these other things that diamonds are forever, the De Beers diamond mines will be paying thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. Diamonds are damn near like a rock in the sand, brother and sisters. In fact, what diamonds probably are most better used for is industrial use for cutting stone. In reality, not only have Jews been at the center of establishing apartheid in Palestine, they were also at the root of apartheid system in racist South Africa. This brings us to the case of a group of 19th century Jewish exploiters who became known as the Rand Lords. The Rand, which is the currency of South Africa, the Rand Lords. A 1976 doctoral thesis by Michael Stevenson of the University of Cape Town titled Old Masters and Aspirations, the Rand Lords, Art in South Africa. He points out how a small group of capitalists, many of whom were from middle-class German Jewish backgrounds, made vast amounts of money from exploiting the labor of African indigenous workers in the mining of rich deposits of gold and diamonds in Southern Africa, starting in the 1870s. By the 1890s, these Jewish capitalists came to be known as the Rand Lords in the English press. Stevenson documented the history of the European Jews such as Alfred and Otto Bett, Hermann Erskine, J.M. Solomon, and Sir Julius Werner, who took advantage of gold and diamond rush by Europeans at Kimberley in South Africa's North Cape province. This rush for gold and diamonds ensued after the discovery of large deposits of riches were found in Southern Africa's native land. According to the Encyclopedia of Judaica, in the entry on the history of the city of Johannesburg, South Africa, it is said of the Jews, they were among the leaders of the gold mining industry and helped build us the city as Johannesburg, South Africa's commercial, industrial, and financial center. Prominent among the Jewish Rand Lords were the colorful Barney Burnham, Solly Joel, and Samuel Marx. Barney Bartano, one of the first and most prominent of the Jewish Rand Lords, was born as Barney Isaacs in 1851 to a Jewish family in Great Britain. Bartano, along with his brother, Harry, migrated to South Africa in the early 1870s, and Bartano brothers eventually formed the Bartano Diamond Mining Company and established themselves as the chief rivals of Cecil Rhodes. And if you know me, you know I can't stand Cecil Rhodes. I hate his homosexual self. I have a deep disdain for Cecil Rhodes. I saw a documentary about 30 years ago. In fact, it was on PBS, so it probably can still be maintained, about how and what he did in killing our people. In fact, there was a poster that he had with him straddling the map of Africa, standing over Africa in an arrogant pose, saying that what should be done with Africa, it should be painted British red. I know God would like the map of Africa to be painted British red, to control all of Africa. Cecil Rhodes, who was operating as an agent for the Jewish-French Rothschild Bank, which was also heavily involved in the exploitation of African labor in the gold and diamond mines at the time, the Rothschild, another group, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, those are the international bankers of today. Those are the families, the Rockefellers. It is interesting to note that the role of the Jewish Rothschild family in the exploitation of African labor in the 19th century formed a global matrix, with the French branch exploiting African labor for gold and diamonds in Southern Africa, and the French and British branches exploiting African labor across the ocean in the American South for cotton and tobacco, as documented in the book The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 2, page 297 to 301. Barney Burton and Cecil Rhodes engaged in a protracted economic battle to establish who would gain control over the lucrative diamond and gold markets in Southern Africa. This economic war eventually led to the consolidation into what is now known today as the De Beers Diamond Empire. On the back cover of the book titled The Rand Lords, The Men Who Made South Africa by Jeffrey Wheatcroft, it is said that the Jewish Rand Lords invaded Southern Africa at the end of the last century, mining vast fortunes in gold and diamonds, and in the process laid the economic, social, and political foundation, including the apartheid system that continued to shake that great and complex land. The day is over when the satanic so-called Jews and their apologist can simply throw the label of anti-Semite at somebody as a diversion from the exposure of their wicked history of oppression and exploitation of African people. The African community is waking up, and Minister Farrakhan has issued a challenge to those evil ones to come out of their hiding places and defend their wicked history. Brother Robert Muhammad, the Final Call newspaper. We have some callers. 604, good morning. Oh, good afternoon, 604.
Good morning, good afternoon to you, Brother Ochi.
Good morning. How you doing, brother?
Brother, I'm doing well. It's a bank holiday today. The sun is shining very heavily. Apparently, it's the hottest day, bank holiday they've ever had. So it's a good thing. You know?
That's a good thing.
The people of the sun.
Yes,
so whenever
right.
The sun shines in UK, we have to make the most of it.
That's for sure. Because, man, it don't shine that often, and the weather don't get that hot. So you bet. Y'all enjoy this, man, for real.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I'm listening to the interjection, and it's elating to hear somebody brave enough to take on this part of history, which is almost become, you know, I can't even find the correct word for it, but we know that nobody seems to want to talk about this so vital part of our history. You made reference to the relationship between the blacks and the Jews. And I also want to make reference to Tony Martin's book, The Jewish Onslaught.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Brother Ochi, growing up, I had no idea about these things. And most of my employment was working for Jewish people because I worked within the law, training to be a lawyer. So I worked within those circles and I had no idea of this, but to me, working amongst them, there were certain things which I saw which was didn't sit comfortably with me in that I believed, I was taught growing up that these people were these spiritual people, these holy people, the people of God and whatever. And what I was actually seeing seemed to contradict a lot of that. So that led me to start to look further into, the real history. And you know, it was a stark contradiction. I mean, when you learn about Suriname and what took place down in Suriname, mm-hmm. and even the history, my people emanate out of Jamaica, and most Jamaicans don't even know the full history of the Jewish relationship down there. They have no idea what really took place. And even today, you know, in the schools, in the curriculum, your children have to know about the Holocaust,
right.
But yet nobody wants to talk about this relationship between these Jewish people and black people. And it, almost to talk about it, people want to classify you as anti-Semitic. This is a real problem today, Oshi. This is a real, real issue.
Oh, it is.
We need to expose somehow, you know.
I agree, because see, Paul, what it is a suppression of truth, of history, of fact. It is a suppression. And of course, to impose the idea that these people who now occupy Israel, these people who control a lot that goes on in the world, are ordained by God. These are God's chosen people. Really? And what they doing? They're God's chosen people. Are you kidding? But yet you are made to, they've made many people, particularly in the entertainment industry, apologize. Marlon Brando, Michael Jackson, Spike Lee, Prince, others who have said something or implied something that they didn't like, that they felt offended by, and then made them apologize publicly, you see, because of the influence that they have on the planet. And the fact that they control government. They control the government here. Now, granted, just like I just seen a piece where a Caucasian who was running for the U.S. Senate out of California was kicked out of the GOP convention in California, and because he's running for the U.S. Senate, but yet he is a neo-Nazi. He is a neo-Nazi, and he was stepping on the flag of Israel and spat on it, you know. And, the thing is this about that. It is great that they have somebody like that, that they had a Hitler, because that continued to gain the sympathy of the world for them. Here's the irony of that, Brother Paul. In Germany, because it was such an offense and because of what they did, you could not legally name your son Hitler. There is no posters, pictures, statues, commemorate plaques of none of that in Germany, in the country of Germany, not in Stuttgart or Munich or nothing like that or Berlin. No, in the whole country. But yet in the country of America, they still are dealing with these Confederate statues and plaques and images and so forth. And many of these things, Brother Paul, were not put up right away after the war was over. They were put up 30, 40, 50 years later. And the reason was intimidation and to let Africans know and that they didn't want integration in housing. They did not want integration in schooling and to put fear into you and suppress you. But yet it happens here. But you couldn't even do that there. Because why? Those European Jews, we like to call them because that's what they are. They are not the Hebrews of the book, if that even happened any damn way. They're not those people. They are European Jews who accepted Judaism at a later time and now dominate and control it. That's who they are.
Most definitely. You're brave enough to speak out, and it's credible, because this onslaught is still affecting us to this moment in time.
Yes.
Some certain radio stations I listen to, I won't name. I've heard conversations, and I've heard presenters almost like biting their tongue.
Yes.
because issues are raised, and it's an absolutely unacceptable position to be in. This has been going on a long time, and it's been affected us as a people. Right now, in the UK, there's a whole lot of controversy with a black man called Mark Wadsworth, who was part of the political arena. He made some statements which I can't find in nothing he said, which is really anti-Semitic. But they're going after the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, and they're trying to weed out what they call anti-Semitic within that party. But it's really a political move to remove the leader of the Labour Party, who they think is too much to the left and too much supports the people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, this is used at all levels, you know, to keep up an agenda, which is basically of, like you rightfully said, domination. My concern is how it affects us as a people, and it does affect us in a big way.
Yes, it does.
With it be the music industry, mm-hmm. with it be the social housing, whatever. There's so much, it's so real and to the point where we're not really talking about it, and we really have no strategies for dealing with it, and it has to be dealt with. You know, it cannot mm-hmm. continue like this. And down in Africa, you know, you talk about Holocaust, but no one seems to remember the Holocaust in Namibia, with the Germans rounded the African mm-hmm. concentration camps
mm-hmm.
and killed them. That was the forerunner to what they're calling the Jewish Holocaust, but no one seems to talk about that.
Right,
it's almost seems rotted out of history. And that's unacceptable again, because those people down there, I've never been to Namibia, but people who've been there say it's like a small Germany down there, and these people still have a massive control, mm-hmm. but no one mentions that. So there's a lot of work to do, and just commend you for bringing this topic
well
to the forefront.
I appreciate that, Paula, but let me say this. At this stage of our existence as African people, it's so tenuous. I don't give a damn. I'm going to speak the African truth no matter who is trying to affront it, no matter who challenges. I will speak this truth because I'm not speaking. Understand this, Brother Paul. I don't give you my opinion. When I come on this radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, about 5 to 7 your time, you know, I don't care. I don't care. I prayed to God and to the ancestors to guide me, to protect me, and to motivate and inspire me, and to speak this special truth because it is our truth. It ain't mine. This ain't me. Because believe me, if it was me, Paul, I'd be like, I don't know if you know this brother here in the States named Saru Seti, the little general. I mean, he's very profane. In fact, he said he studied at the feet of Dr. Ben. I know he wasn't going off like that, you know, at the feet of Dr. Ben. But be that as it is, he's very profane. In fact, when I never heard of him until some brothers about 5 or 6 years ago hit me to him. And so I was living in Milwaukee then. And then I go hear him and there's kids around and so forth. And it was hard for me to get his message because he was so profane, you know, and I'm like, damn. But, you know, he has been one who has put forth a lot of good information, you know, but I know I can't do that. Cause to me, what's most important is not the language, but the truth we speak, on behalf of our scholars, our historians, our elders, our ancestors. That's whose shoulders I stand on, Brother Paul. That's why I speak the way I do. I'm not inventing anything. I'm not pulling something up out of my ass. I'm speaking the truth that I've been blessed enough to read and hear and memorize and to give to our people. You know, because if there's anything that is more important to me, and that is the liberation of the minds of our people, this program is dedicated to independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And that means everywhere. That means on the continent and throughout the diaspora, everywhere. That's what that means. And so, no, I am not. And if somehow they can cut this off, they'll cut it off. But, hey, the only way they'll stop me from saying what I'm going to say is they kill me. And if that's the price I pay, I die. But I know that somebody else will pick up the banner because I know intrinsically, internally, mentally that we want to be a free people, an independent and sovereign people. I know that. I can see today, though, Brother Paul, that a lot of our people, you know, still haven't grasped it because we still want to emulate and be with Europeans. We still want to look like them, act like them, be with them, you know. But the mindset of Africans coming into their own and doing for self is growing. And that's what I want to continue to support and continue to perpetuate and to continue to throw out there. So at this stage of the game, I don't give a damn. I'll expose whatever needs to be exposed to help our people come into our right minds.
Brother Ochi, it's funny you should mention Saru Seti. He actually came to the UK.
Oh, okay.
Came to the UK. And it's funny that the first time I saw him on the internet, he was talking about Dr. Ben. He was making reference to the fact that nobody had come to see him and he was upset and whatever. That's how I came into knowing him.
Right.
But you know what? The swearing and the profanity, I personally, this is my view, not yours, is absolutely disgraceful and unacceptable. So when he came here in the UK, he was on a radio program and I phoned him up and I said to him, you know, I commended him for the fact that, yeah, he was there for Dr. Ben and, you know, the stuff, put material put out. But the question I asked him, I says, why do you swear all the time? Why are you cussing all the while? And me asking him that turned the whole conversation against me. He started to try and attack me, and I'm the wrong person to be attacked because I can speak to you nicely, but I can switch it up. I'm from the street. I can switch it up.
Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead, bro.
The way you're not going to like it. So the bottom line is, he started to say, like, oh, what's the problem? Whatever, this is the way I reach the young. And I said, nah, you don't reach the young. I said, I've got 3 stages, yeah? One of them is a rapper.
Yeah.
You can't talk to him like that. He ain't going to appreciate you talking to him like that. In actual fact, if you talk to him like that, there's going to be a conflict. He ain't going to appreciate that. Right? Mm-hmm. And I've got 2 girls who are teenagers. They're not going to hear one word you say.
Exactly.
Like that. But he didn't like it. So he went on the attack. But at the end of the day, and I hear that he went on some talking interview and he referred to the fact that I raised this issue and it was a problem. But, you know, it's unacceptable. And I still hold this view. And if I was to see him in his face, I'd tell him it's unacceptable. What kind of nonsense is that?
Yeah.
The reality of it is that this is how they want us to behave. Yeah. I questioned the logic and the mental, even the mental capacity. Why would you be swearing, cutting that? You know what I mean? And you think that's how young people need to? No, I don't know what kind of young people need to get that message. That those young people who need to hear it that way, this is my view again, are lost. Are absolutely lost. You know, we don't need to talk like that. We don't need to behave or conduct ourselves like that. So, you know, you raise that. I have a personal experience there.
I see.
Still sent to this point. But I hear, I don't know if it's true, but I hear through the grapevine, since he came to England, I don't know where else he's been, but I know since he's come back, people have said that his attitude has changed. So I don't know.
I don't know if that's true or not. Let me say this. The most recent thing I heard from him was a few months ago. He's still as vulgar as he's been. And when the first time that I heard him, when I didn't know who he was. But, you know, I know... Professor James Smalls has tried to talk to him, you know, the other brothers and sisters in New York. In fact, let me get this call. 646. Go ahead, 646.
Yeah, what's going on, Ocean, to your brother, Paul? Who are you talking about? Sarah Sutton, Filthy Mouth, Fetty?
Yes. Yeah, that's who we're talking about.
Man. I mean, you know, he has... good information and all of that, man. But you know his presentation is not up to par to educate people. You know what I mean?
Right.
He acts and behaves like he's a little savage.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, it's comical at times, but you know who wants to weed through his comedy cussing act to get the information that he's presenting? So that's the issue. Is he going to change? No. He's the type of individual, honestly, that in order for him to change, he need to be beat. Now, ain't nobody going to go through all that trouble
exactly.
to do it.
But exactly.
He's what we would call a rebellious Negro.
Yeah.
So, you know, in his rebelliousness, the only way that you could, you know, unfortunately, tame him is to beat him. And, you know, that's not a position that we want to take. I don't know if at what point in time will he ever get it. I don't think he's ever going to get it because, like I said, he's not being dealt with in the manner that he should. But what I really wanted to ask you, Brother Osi, since you was talking about that Jew, in all honesty, is the Jew a friend or a foe?
If you're asking me that, let me say this. If you're asking me that, I lump all of them in the classifications of European Caucasians. European Caucasian, you'll like this, Paul. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. It has affected all of them, and so they're a foe. They have really never been a friend. They've been under the disguise as a friend. You know, they talk about their funding of the civil rights movement. They talk about their involvement in the civil rights movement. They talk about being friends. I always like to look at the relationship between us and them as their landlord, we're tenant. Their merchant, we're customer. You know, they're this and they're that. They always have a better position over us, you know.
Well, you know, that's what their agenda is. They pay for their position to control us. You know what I mean? It's like putting the Negro on remote control. You know, it's like everybody always talks about movements in the context of what we have gained in movements. And the reality is we've never gained in any movement. The reality is that others who were part and joined in on the movement are the ones who benefit the most from the movement that we're supposed to be at the head of. Civil rights and all sorts of other things. You know what I mean? I mean, how is it that you're now in the situation in this country where homosexual freak degenerates have more power than African people do? I mean, come on. Let's keep it real.
Well, number
you
one,
know, the transgender freak movement have more power in this country than Black folks do.
Yeah, and the reason why, and the reason why, Jay, and you can jump in on this too, Paul, if you want to have something to give. But the reason why, Jay, is because they're Europeans, they're Caucasians. They've been able to manipulate that system. Situation to benefit themselves. They're very up there in the entertainment and arts, very much so. In fact, I will never forget watching the Tony Awards. And of course, the Tony Awards are given to theater. And I'm challenged. I wasn't really stuck to watch it. I'm just channel surfing. So when I go into the Tony Awards and I see these men come up there and they're kissing each other, hugging each other, I'm like, damn, what the hell is this? You know, but because in that particular arena, they were very pronounced, but they're very pronounced in the entertainment industry, period. Jews and, of course, homosexuals. In fact, there was just recently, I think it's called GLAAD, which is some acronym for, you know, the lesbian, gay, and LGBTQ community, and talking about how Robin Roberts, the on Good Morning America, who used to be on ESPN, how her and her...
A gay mafia member. Let's don't leave out. She's a gay mafia member.
Yeah.
Put that out there, man.
Exactly. How her and her Caucasian wife, or her, I think she's the... I don't know. But anyway, talking about how they walked the runway and all the other actors and actresses, or actors, I mean, to put it that way, were walking the runway and all the things. And I'm like, wow. There is a serious push of the homosexual agenda in this country. And let me say this, Brother Paul and Brother Jay and our listening audience, in my perspective, there is no issue of homosexuality in the Pan-African movement for liberation. You can't come in there with saying, well, what about us? No. If you are a homosexual, keep that to yourself. The only thing we're going to talk about, the only thing we're going to talk about is how, as we as African people, can liberate our minds, our bodies, our spirits to be a people who are self-determining. That's the only discussion.
They don't. But that's the point. They don't. They put forward that in the narrative, part of the agenda. If you fight in for rights at a certain position and you're supposed to be part of the group, freakiness must be part of the argument. That's the problem. And most people allow for the freakiness to be part of the agenda. The hell with the freakiness. That's where we make our mistake. Because as soon as you allow them to integrate and incorporate themselves into your movement is lost. 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 Stop allowing them freaks to come into your movement. That's the problem. That's why we're not moving forward. That's why we're not moving forward.
Go ahead, Paul.
I want to take the conversation back to Sara Setti and tie it into what we're saying. It was some young people who got together and paid for him to come here, right? And the problem I had with it is that these young people were arguing that his message was reaching them. Now, the problem with that is that this is the narrative being played out around the world of African Americans. This is what an African American is. He swears a lot. He's a gangster rapper. He's vulgar. This is the narrative, and it's being played out by the same people we're talking about.
So exactly.
When the young people say yeah and defend that sort of behavior, living in America and maybe understanding a bit more of the complications also going on and educating myself around the issues, and tuning into the various radio stations and listening to the people, maybe have a better understanding of what's taking place than them, and then realize that they're looking at Sarasvati as the epitome of consciousness, standing for the African-American when he's not. And that's the problem I had with it. And the other problem is that it's these people we are referring to who are pushing out this narrative. And it ties into the same homosexual agenda. I mean, as to why this homosexual agenda is so strong, it's a vehicle. You just have to go back to the Protocols of Zion. It talks about how they're going to co-opt the world mm-hmm. and look for world domination. And so it all ties in. But one has to be versed and read the information and go back, Sankofa, and go back and study realize what is happening. So it's a big game being played out. It's a big world agenda. And unfortunately, the young people, Sarasvati is an example of how the young people are falling for it. And this is why what he does is very dangerous, because he seems to be playing this kind of role, which unfortunately the narrative is being played out, especially in this country, of how the African-American is supposed to behave.
Right.
And he's fulfilling that, and it's dangerous.
Well, see, on that, Jay and Paul and listeners, is that they co-opted that. I never forget listening to Sister Soulja on National Public Radio back in the late 80s saying that I can't get, or early 90s, I can't get a record deal because they don't want conscious rap. They don't want KRS-One. They don't want X-Clan. They don't want conscious rap. They want gangsterism. They want thugism. They want to call women this, that, and the other and smoke and drink and shoot and kill. And as you've seen, that's what happened. And that's what has been perpetuated. And so what you're saying is that that image that they co-opted and threw it out there, that this is how we are. That's why I am in total agreement with you. I hate it. I would love for us to be speaking to each other, whether it's publicly or privately, in a dignified, respectful manner. Now, granted, okay, I do cuss, but it's appropriate.
No, there's none of us who don't cuss. But what I'm saying is that if you claim to be conscious, right, you claim to be an African and you're conscious, and you know that this image, which is being used against us, painted against us, and it's effective. Yeah, I've heard on various radio stations people say that people have come to America and, you know, what's up, my nigga, and all these sort of nonsense.
Right.
And we know that's not an African-American, but this is the image being painted.
Exactly.
It is successful. It's been painted in Hollywood. It's been painted in music.
Right.
And I can tell you, it's successful. They are winning. So when somebody who claims to be conscious perpetuates this on an international scale, it's very wrong.
It is.
And I would like somebody over your side to shut him down. That's what I would have been asking for, to shut it down. Because this image is now here. It's, you know, we have young people who want to perpetuate thinking that's the thing to be. Let me go and cuss out this one. Let me go. And then that cussing starts with some of the girls next time, one's shot and one's dead.
Exactly.
Yeah, so,
exactly.
You know, we, some of us, I don't think we knew how serious this thing is.
No, it's very serious. It is. In fact, I would like to one day get some people on and then talk about that in terms of what we are, you know, who manipulates us and how we continue to perpetuate that. Brother Jay, you got anything? Because I'm about to go off in the air in about a minute. Very quickly.
Look, we have to hold people accountable for their actions. And SETI must be held accountable for his filthy mouth.
Yes.
If we don't, we'll just continue to have others like them come along. That won't do any good. Oh, Captain, have a good day.
All right, Jay. Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you. We end this program like we end all our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the wealth that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Be back with us on Wednesday for more of African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on Time for an Awakening Radio. Peace, family. Have a wonderful day.